feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On our last Searchlight program, we began a study of Judges chapter 10. So far in this chapter, we have learned about two of the leaders of Israel. First, there was Tola, who was a defender of God's people. Then there was Jer, who had 30 sons following in his footsteps as one who brings peace and righteousness to the people. As we join John today, he is sharing with us a recent encounter he had with two older ladies at a Denny's restaurant. This story ties into the story of Jer and how his sons followed after him. Here now is Pastor John.
And I like to go to Denny's because I've discovered something about Denny's. First of all, the prices are real reasonable. But secondly, is that nobody goes there. But tourists, you know what I'm saying? So if I want to go and read or study or just, you know, kind of sit down with my Bible and my... Denny's is the place to go. Now, don't tell anybody I said that. But nobody goes there except for people that are getting off I-5, you know, tourists and all of that. So I like to go to Denny's. So I'm there at Denny's over there by the Food for Less. And it's like, oh, I don't know, 3 p.m. or so, and I got my Bible open, I got my notebook out, just jotting some stuff down, thinking some things through. And I heard in the next booth over from me, Applegate. And there was two lovely ladies, and I would put their age, I would guesstimate it about 65 or so, both of them. And the one lady, sharp as a tack, she said, "Have you heard about Applegate?" And I go, "Oh no. Here we go. Now, why do I have to hear this now? Wherever, even Denny's. I came here to be with tourists, you know." She says, "Have you heard about Applegate?" And the one other lady said, "Yeah, a little bit." And she says, "Oh," she says, "you have to go to Applegate." And I go, "Oh, this is interesting." She says, this gal that was talking, she said, "I have never, ever heard such teaching in all of my life." She says, "The key to growing," she says, "in your understanding of God is expositional teaching." And she used that phrase. She said, "You'll always hear preachers preach on topics or give sermons, and that's good." But she, telling this other lady, she said, "The key is expositional teaching. You need to go through the Bible. That's the only way you'll really get the full counsel of God." And I'm just going, this is great. And I'm listening to all this. And then the waitress comes by, and the waitress says, "Now, ladies, what would you have?" And the one gal that had been doing the talking said, "Well, I just finished a book on sugar and how we should cut back on our sugar, so I don't want any sugar." And she said, "I also read a book on caffeine, so I better not have any coffee." She goes, "But I really want some coffee." And I said, "Just go ahead and splurge. Just do it," I said, as I shouted across the way. And she looked at me and laughed and said, "Oh, you know, okay, you know." And she said, "I'll take some coffee." And so this is interesting. So I just keep on listening, you know, and watching these two ladies in the next booth as she came and had her coffee. And then she said, you got to understand. And she goes on. She says, "You'll grow by being in the Word." And she says, "That pastor out there is one of the few men I've ever been around that is committed to expositional teaching." And she says, wait, thank you. But you know, and she says, "And that's the key." She says, "But," she says, "I got to tell you something. There is somebody that is, I think, exceeding him." And I'm going, well, this is really going to be interesting now. There's somebody, she says, who's exceeding him. And the one gal said, who's that? And she said, his boy, Peter John. She says, he taught a message 2 weeks ago on where are the Lord's lovers. And she said, I was just weeping. I haven't heard that kind of teaching. And she said, and he seems to have this understanding, this handle on the fear of the Lord. She said, it's been decades since I've heard that theme emphasized or even touched on, the fear of the Lord. And they were going on for about 25 minutes. And finally, I'm just sitting there taking all of this in. And finally, I pick up my Bible and I go over and I said, ladies, would you mind if I joined you? And the one lady that was doing the talking says, oh, that would be fine, sir. And I sat down and said, I'm Pastor John. Oh, you're Pastor John. I said, yeah, I'm Pastor John. Oh, she says, oh, I've been praying if I could ever meet you. I didn't expect to see you in Denny's. I just, you know, and she goes, I don't see as good as I used to. She said, I'm 91. And I said, you're 91? I'm 91 years old. I said, tell me your story. And I sat there at Denny's for the next couple of hours and heard this lady's story who moved up here in the past, oh, half a year or so. And she lives in that house as you're going towards Medford, right before you get to Bi-Mart on Jacksonville Road, that big white house with the wrought iron black fence. It's the classic house. Her name is Mildred. She's 91. She's been around the things of God forever. She was in the Latter-day Rain movement. She knows all the old Pentecostal revivalists. This gal is just classic. And she's had famous people spend time in her home. Her husband just died. She moved up here. She can't come out all that often. She listens to every broadcast that we do, every service that we do. And she loves the teaching of the word, you know. And I was just, I literally just sat there and just was taking in from Mildred and her young friend who was 70. And I was just taking in for just sitting there Saturday afternoon, just taking in and being blessed and getting just amazed at the richness and her understanding. She says, can I look at your Bible? And I said, sure. She goes, I'm holding John Corson's Bible. and she looked, she says, you know. And we were just having a delightful time, just a great time. And to hear someone from that vantage point who's been around that long in so many revivals and Pentecostal movements and all the rest say the key is the exposition of the word. She's seen it all. She's been through all the stuff, and she says, and this is the long and short of it, the teaching of God's word under the anointing of the Spirit. And you know, it was so wonderful. It was such an encouragement. And, you know, the Lord has ways of just occasionally giving us those kinds of things to eavesdrop in on to encourage our hearts, doesn't he? He's good that way. But the thing that really blessed me was her evaluation, this godly saint. Hey, there's somebody that's excelling and exceeding. It's your son, you know. And I go, right, excellent. He's riding a donkey. He's coming in. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And that's, I'll tell you, no greater joy can any man hear, as the Apostle John said, than to know that his children walk in truth. It's the greatest thing of all. And I say that to you to say, Dad, listen carefully. You might say, man, I wish I could be a missionary in Asia, or I wish I could be a preacher in Atlanta. The most important, satisfying ministry you'll ever have is with your children. There is no more satisfying, thrilling, fulfilling ministry than raising up your kids, teaching them everything you know. Having devotions at home, Bible studies with your son, your daughter, whoever it might be. Giving them the word, pouring out your heart, leading them in prayer. It is such a delight. And as fun as Monopoly was last night, for me it paled in comparison to just sitting out in our backyard as we do and opening up the scriptures and working through some stuff together as a family. There's nothing better than that. And guess what? Every one of us have that opportunity. None of us are excluded. If you're a grandparent, you got grandkids. If you're a parent, you got kids. If you're neither one of those things, there's somebody. You know, go to the rest home. Find someone. But you'll always be able to find someone that you can say, this is my family. I'm going to give them the word. I'm going to disciple these two or three or five kids or grandchildren, whatever it might be. It's the best thing of all. Anyway, to make a long story longer, with Mildred, my new friend, my dear, dear, precious sister, sharp, sharp, sharp. There's one other gal that I've met who was in that same way, sharp and deep in the things of God. I've referred to her before, Helen, 101. She died that very day. So she went to heaven on Saturday, the same time that I was talking to Mildred. I thought, Lord, this is so interesting how you just, oh, I don't know. You know, Helen was a real special gal to many of us that knew her. And now she was ushered into heaven. And I think the Lord has sent Mildred up here to sort of fill in and take that spot, you see. But be that as it may, J.R., what he did, he had sons that were doing what he was doing, training up his boys and doing that, even as he did, a good and great legacy, without question. Best legacy there is, as far as I'm concerned. Well, after this 45 years of Tola and J.R. and the work they did, defending God's people, Tola and J.R. raising up his sons to be deputies throughout the land, there was 45 years of peace. Now, you would think that in those 45 years of peace, that the people of Israel would be seeking after God, glorying in God, drawing close to God. But that's not what happened. Rather, we read, during those years, after those two judges were off the scene, after 45 years of peace and prosperity, it says they did evil. The people of Israel, verse 6, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. They got caught up in the things of the world. Here God had blessed them. Listen to what God warned his people earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Make a note of this, look it up later. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, God declares, Deuteronomy 8, 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Yet beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Be careful. When you get into the land and everything is going well and there's prosperity and peace, be careful that you don't forget the Lord, he warned in Deuteronomy. And that's what can happen. They had prosperity and peace for 45 years. And instead of drawing close to the Lord and really being built up in the Lord, they got caught up in the things of the world, the gods of the world. The toys and trinkets and seductions and baubles of the world. And that can happen to me. Things can be going along very smoothly and very well. And if I'm not careful, I can find that I don't pray with the same passion. Or I'm not disciplined in my devotion. Because things seem to be going well. Tola defended the people. J.R. had his sons out there keeping law and keeping order. And the people, instead of saying, God, you've been good to us and you're taking care of us, they began to pursue other gods. The gods, the images, the idols of the heathen communities round about, of the heathen countries surrounding them. There was an article in U.S. News this week. It's interesting now that Nickelodeon TV, that a few years ago, Nickelodeon TV, the kids' channel, you would only see advertised on Nickelodeon TV things that dealt with kids. Games, toys, bicycles, whatever it might be. But now, a good chunk of the advertising on Nickelodeon, and it's growing each quarter, is for things like cruises to the Caribbean, and cars and minivans, and expensive big-ticket items that are for adults. Why? It's what they call the nag factor. Advertisers have discovered that if they can get the kids to want to see the minivan that has the TV built in, if the kids want that, they'll nag their parents until the parents give in and get it. They have discovered the most effective group to reach for vans or cruises or whatever it might be is to get the kids wanting that van or that cruise, because the 5, 6, and 7-year-olds will bug their parents to get it. And there's more influence there than anything they've discovered thus far. So Nickelodeon now is advertising these big ticket adult items. And it's interesting because that's what's happening here, in essence. They were being intrigued by the children of Israel. I don't mean just the kids, but the whole nation was becoming seduced by, interested in, drawn to the things of the world. How about me? How about you? Do we find ourselves spending more time looking at the latest SUVs or the latest cars or toys or whatever it might be than we do being in the Word or being on our knees? Honestly, honestly, I ask myself, I ask you too, have you spent more time pricing SUVs than you've been on your knees in the past week or month or what have you? Sad to say, many people can quote stickers that are on car windows and have all the latest consumer guides down pat, but they don't know the basic understandings of Judges because that's not where they're at. Why? Things are going pretty well. God has blessed them. And now they're interested in the things of the world. That's what happened in their situation. They were drawn to the gods of the nations round about. Baal, the god of the intellect. Ashtaroth, the god of sensuality and sex. Mammon, the god of money. All of these gods were intriguing to them, and they were seduced by them. And the anger, verse 7, of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. God allowed them, since they're interested in the world, well, then you can be controlled by the world. Listen to me. That's how our Father works. You want that? You got it. You want to give yourself to that material thing or that sensual stuff? Go ahead. And suddenly, that which was intriguing to us, we are now in bondage to it. They were intrigued by the gods of the Ammonites, and now they're in bondage to those Ammonites. God says, okay, have your way. And the Ammonites, verse 8, vexed and oppressed the people. Why am I so oppressed? We say today, depressed. I am convinced in my own thinking, whenever you see the word oppressed in the Old Testament, you can put the word depressed. Because what's happening to them outwardly, oppression, speaks of what happens to you and me internally, depression. And people say, why should I be so depressed? I mean, I've got a nice car, I've got this nice home, I've got, you know, whatever. Why should I be depressed? It's because perhaps, maybe, you or perhaps maybe I have given myself to those things. God's blessed you. God's blessed me. But now we're involved in those things, and suddenly they're depressing to you and they're distressing to me. See? And these folks were intrigued by the gods of the Ammonites. So God says, go ahead. And they find themselves oppressed at the hand of Ammon. 18 years. That's a long period of oppression. Verse 8 goes on to say, they were oppressed. And then the people of Ammon, verse 9, not only oppressed those that were on the east side of Jordan, up at Gilead, but they crossed over, the Ammonites did, and went against the people of Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, so that all of Israel, verse 9 concludes, was sore distressed. They were oppressed, they were distressed, they were depressed. Sad, sad situation. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord, saying, after 18 years, how long does it take before I, before you, before we will finally cry to the Lord? I don't mean snivel or whimper. I mean really cry in desperation. Lord, Lord, I am oppressed and distressed or depressed. Lord, it's been 18 years. Lord, I got seduced by, I was intrigued with, I found myself focused on the job or the hobby or that person or whatever it might be, and it's just been miserable, Lord. I've been living for my career, and it's just been absolutely unfulfilling. Or I've been living for my husband. It's nothing but depressing. Or I've been living for my children. Or I've been living for my hobby. Somehow, Lord, I've gotten away from a real, intimate, vital relationship with you. And now I'm distressed. I'm oppressed. And after 18 years, they finally, in desperation, cried to the Lord. And they said, verse 10, we have sinned against thee, because we have forsaken our God and served Baal instead. And the Lord said, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and also from the Philistines? And verse 12, the Zidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites. And you cried to me. I delivered you out of their hand. Yet, listen. Verse 13, after all I've done for you, all the times I've responded to you, all the victories I've sent your way, hey, yet you have forsaken me and you've served other gods. What is a god? A god simply is the master passion of your life. What's the master passion of your life? Where do you spend your energy? What's the priority of your time on any given day? What really is the driving force within you? That's your God. And God here says, you've forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. So listen to verse 14. I have this underlined. God says, go and cry unto those gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. You chose your God. You got your cabin, or you got that thing on the side, or you got this over here, whatever it might be. You chose it. You lived for it. You finally got it. Now go call on it to set you free.
That's a sobering thought. We spend our time and energy and money on things of this world, on temporal gods. But what can they do for us in our time of tribulation? Absolutely nothing. You may want to ponder that truth for a while, and then join us again next time as Pastor John concludes this important teaching. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.